Welcome to An Epiphany with Tiffany. My name is Tiffany, and I've just had an epiphany. This podcast is all about Christian singles looking for community. Christian dating can be quite a mess these days. I'll share stories from my guests and practical tips for successful love. Dating shouldn't be this hard, right? So grab your favorite snack or drink and curl up with this episode, and you might just have an epiphany of your own. So purity culture didn't affect you?
What? I think, well, yeah, I have kind of a crazy story because okay. I was, and I share my story a lot, so you can use whatever you want of this.
Okay.
I was sexually abused as a child. And I think because of that, and I wasn't a Christian until I was 22. And even then it was debatable. Like I had accepted Christ, but it wasn't until I was 30 that I was like all in committed to following the Lord. So I kind of missed all that. I mean, there was a little bit of like I Kissed Dating Goodbye and like those kind of books that I picked up when I first became a believer. But I think because of my past and because I'd been sexually abused and then became like super promiscuous, all of that didn't apply to me in my head.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. That's such a hard, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Thing that a lot of people don't necessarily understand. So I appreciate you being willing to share that. Because I grew up in the church, and so it was very, very much a thing for purity culture. So I'm always like, how did this not affect you?
I know my best friend is in a relationship about to get engaged. She has no idea, obviously, but she's like, I'm not going to kiss my husband until we get to the altar. And like, she is very, and I'm like, oh yeah, that would not work for me.
No. I mean, it's so hard. Obviously there's boundaries, right? But still, like, yeah, I don't know. I used to have that viewpoint, but I've kissed a couple guys now. So it's like, well, that's out the window. Okay. All right. It's always mind blowing to me to see where people line up on that. Because even some people who grew up in the church didn't have it as bad as I did. So I'm just kind of like, how did you escape that? But, okay. So since you said you would be happy to elaborate, the question is, do you believe there's only one person for you? If you want to just kind of elaborate on that and what you feel about that.
Yeah, I think that ultimately there is one partner for you. Yes. But I think that along the way, like, and I know this has been something that I've been like, oh man, this is so hard, because I feel like there's so many people who are like, oh no, you shouldn't date. You should just wait for the Lord to bring you. But I'm like, there's so much purpose in learning and dating. I just ended a year and a half relationship in March, and it was legitimately the first healthy relationship I ever had. And I thought it was going to end in marriage, and it didn't. But I think back and I'm like, man, he taught me so much. And so do I think there's one ultimate like partner, husband, wife for you? Of course. But I think there are many people along the way who are going to teach you things about dating and like what, and even this person that I just ended my relationship with a few months ago, he taught me what I am and am not looking for in a future husband. And for a long time, I thought, oh man, like this is what I'm looking for. But at the end of it, I'm like, there are some things that I'm like, nope, I don't actually want that. So yes, I do believe ultimately you have one husband or wife, but I believe there are lots of people to teach you things along the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's such a huge, huge point. Like, I feel like this, I'm going to go back to the whole purity culture thing. I feel like a lot of us who did grow up into that are in that realm because we were like, oh, you can't date, you can't be around the opposite sex, and you know, you can't have healthy boundaries. You know, that's kind of messed a lot of us up in that way. We feel like we can't develop something even if it's just a friendship, because there has to be some pressure on it. And it's ridiculous.
And I honestly, like, I have a few very close girlfriends, but I had three brothers. And growing up, there were only little boys in my neighborhood. So I've always just been like a guy's girl. Like, a lot of my close friends are male. Like, I just, I'd rather watch football than go shopping, you know? And like, there is like,
me too.
I hear a lot of people say, well, your best friend can't be a guy. And I'm like, no, it can. You just really have to have boundaries in that friendship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Like, one of my best friends is a guy. And, you know, we do have those boundaries. If either of us are dating somebody, we know there's a line there. Yeah. You know, and like, yes, I've gone to him in certain scenarios where I'm like, okay, this fool is bugging me. You know what I mean? But he's also known me like our whole lives practically. So he's the person outside of my actual brothers that can be like, hey, you're being too emotional about this. Like, you need to take a step back. Let's think about this logically. And I'm like, okay, right. You know, but we still have that boundary where, like, if I was dating somebody, like, I wouldn't be sharing everything. It's more along the lines of like, hey, I'm coming to you because I need to see if I need to check myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And within that, like, the guys that I've dated in the past, like, they know that this person is really close. We're really close. And it's not a thing. This is just how it is. Like, he's just an extension of my family at this point. So, you know, but I have also had guys that are not okay with that. And I'm like, okay, well, then we might not be okay. You know, because I'm like, I am the girl that always have had guy friends too. And so it's like, I have a lot of girlfriends now, but that was not a thing. Like, the majority of my life. And it was like maybe one or two girlfriends. And now I'm like swimming in all the girls. And I'm like, I love this though. But anyway, still, I am that girl too, that would rather be sitting and watching baseball or football. Yeah. And I don't care about shopping. Like, okay, I'll go shopping with you if you really want to go, but I'm not loving it. So anyway, but yeah, thanks for sharing that too, because it's such a good point that people, I think we get stuck on that. We put too much pressure on the friendship, you know, because we were told it has to lead to marriage. And it's like, but it really doesn't. It doesn't. Ooh, okay. So you don't expect your future husband to be the sole provider for your family. I know there's such a huge debate on this. That's why I put this question in here, because I'm like, I want to hear everybody's point of view, because, you know, I have my ideas. So
And we just had a, I don't know if you're familiar, but on the Salt app, they do the table. Mm-hmm. And Michelle Apples, I'm on her leadership team for her ministry. And we just had a whole table talk about this. I think that, yes, the Bible calls us to submit to our husbands. But if you read a little bit before that, it also calls us to submit to each other. Mm-hmm.
Verse 21, people.
Yeah, I think that a marriage is a partnership. Like, we are partners. And ultimately, like, if you make decisions, you're the spiritual leader for our house. I do believe that. If you make decisions, I'm going to ask questions, of course, because I believe that, like, I want to make the right decision for both of us together. But I also trust, if I've married you, I trust you to make decisions for our family. But when it comes to being the provider, and this is probably like a little bit skewed and there'll probably be some feedback, I've always just been independent. And like, so I believe in working hard and like doing things and being a partner. I also believe that my husband needs to help make dinner and like take out the trash and do the, like, we need to have a partnership. I think like I've seen so many relationships end because there's not a partnership. Like, one person is pulling all the weight in one area and there's so much resentment and there's so much like, well, they're not helping me, or they're not doing this, or they're not no, we're partners. Like, God has called us to be partners for his kingdom, for our family, for like the people around us. And so I think that my husband doesn't need to be the sole provider.
Yeah, that's awesome. I agree. Like, I think it needs to be, you know, a partnership and stuff. And I think we've skewed what traditional gender roles are with what traditional biblical roles are.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know if you have any other thoughts on that part, but
I think that we are way too caught up in what society says and what society tells us to do. And we've lost a little bit of like the biblical perspective when it comes to relationships, like even dating, like, Do people date anymore?
No.
Like, I'm like, maybe I'm old or old fashioned. I don't know. But I'm like, take me on a date, like plan something. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I feel like that for me, that points to initiative, that points to intentionality. And I know those are buzzwords right now, but whatever. Everybody needs to get over it. you know, and so it also points to integrity in my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, being able to have the hard conversations, you know, like set the groundwork, whether, you know, you're just interested in friendship at this time, you know, or you're interested in more, but you want to be friends because you don't want to jump into something, you know, just like talk about it.
Yeah. Communication.
Oh my gosh. What? What's that word again?
The foreign concept.
Oh my gosh, that is a soapbox for me, so I won't jump on it, but yeah, communication is huge and we all need to work on it. Yeah. Myself included. But I've known this for a while, but I'm really starting to see it more how everybody's communication styles are different and you have to figure that out and really kind of marry the two together, you know, especially if somebody is, oh, you know, I'm not going to communicate at all really. And, or I feel like I'm communicating, but it's like so little, right? And then for me, I'm the person that's like, here's all the things, you know, it's just like, okay, I'm going to go do this. I'll be back around this time. You know, yeah. I'll text you when I can or call you when I can, you know, like that kind of thing. So if I'm not getting that on the flip side, I'm over here like,
what are you doing?
What are you doing over there? Am I not a priority at all? Like, are you really trying to get to know me at all? Like, you know what I mean? And that sends me into my thought patterns that I need to curb. But yeah. Still, it's like having those conversations of being like, hey, this is how I communicate. How do you communicate? Where can we meet in the middle with that? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
It's important. 100%. Ooh, okay. So your biggest struggle in currently dating. Let's chat about that because I think that's huge.
Like, yeah, I don't even remember what I wrote.
Okay. So I'll just tell you what you wrote. So you said just meeting someone who is where I am spiritually and supports my calling.
Yeah. So this is a huge, huge struggle for me. I have been doing ministry for years, like as my job. I live in inner city Baltimore. You probably just heard the sirens. and I mean, I live in like one of the most dangerous neighborhoods in Baltimore, and it becomes very intimidating to men. But also like, I just feel like because I've been in ministry, because I've lived through so much trauma, because I've done a ton of healing work, and really feel like the Lord has restored me to wholeness. Mm-hmm. I feel like I just have this connection with the Lord that sometimes comes across as, intimidating to men that I date. Mm-hmm. And also they don't always understand that like the Lord has called me to something, and it's not, I don't just have a normal 9-to-5 job. Like people knock on my door at 2 a.m. and need food, or one of my kids got shot and killed on the street, or the other night it was a helicopter buzzing around my house because a house was being raided of one of my kids. And like, so it's like, I don't just go to work at 9 a.m. and get off at 5 p.m. and that's where my life ends. Like, this is genuinely my life. And so my last relationship, he knew that going into it because he volunteered in the ministry that I run. So that was good. But there were other things of like, wow, he really isn't spiritually where I am. Like he could not be the spiritual leader. And I don't want to be the spiritual leader. It's not biblical, like for one. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that I really believe, is that the man should be the spiritual leader. I think we can be equals, like we can, you know, but I think that he needs to be where I am or a little ahead of me to lead me. And so it's been a struggle because I'm like, oh, I see all these great qualities in a man. And then I'm like, but you don't pray about any decisions you make, or you haven't opened your Bible in when's the last time, you know? And I'm like, I believe in order for you to lead me well and to love me well, you need to be in communion with the Lord. And you also need to understand that right now I'm starting a new ministry and that's my calling. And like, it's just rough. I've actually like recently been like, okay, God, I know that this desire in my heart is to have a husband, but maybe I'm just supposed to be single and you need to take it away. Yeah. It's rough out here.
Yep. Yeah, it is. I commend you for living there and dealing with all the things that you have to deal with on a daily basis. One of my best friends left the city like a year ago, and she was a teacher.
Yeah. And I've been doing this for 12 years, and I'm actually in the process of starting a 501c3 to start a working farm for women coming out of street prostitution and addiction.
That is awesome.
Literally, I'm like, I cannot live in this trauma anymore. Like, it's like you can do it for so long and then you just can't. Like, it's just heartbreaking. And I'm like, this is affecting like every part of my life right now. And I always knew that the Lord would eventually call me to this next thing that he has for me. Mm. And during COVID, I started coaching women and I was like, okay, it's time. So
yeah. Wow. That is an awesome ministry. Like, I want to know more about that in the future. Yeah. That is so cool.
I was thinking Tiffany and I are going to be BFFs. I love her.
Aww. Yes. That's the other little side note from this whole thing. I'm like, I'm gaining 100 new friends.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And it's been so cool. Like, every conversation, if nothing else comes out of this, I personally have had so many perspective shifts already.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, even if that's all this is, sweet. And I now have 100 are going to have 100 new women friends, which is awesome. So I'm already planning trips with some. I'm all, when am I coming?
That's awesome. Yes.
But yeah, that is so cool. So I don't know. I don't remember if I shared my background in the 24 or not. I can't remember. So my background is in psychology and social work. So yeah. through COVID was nuts.
Yeah.
And I was working at a rape crisis center at that point in time, and it was brutal.
Oh, I bet it was
brutal. Mm. You know, just having to see clients and but virtually, because you know, it's COVID. So virtually seeing these clients who are, you know, living with their abusers, and it's just, and they can't do anything about it because everything's locked down. I don't think I've ever cried as much as I did during 2020. But that's just a little side note. So it's like, I'm very passionate when it comes to, you know, women in that area, or I mean, anybody in that area, like human trafficking in general is like another thing. But yeah. I thought that was the route I was taking. And then God was like, no, that's still a passion of yours. Yes. But that's not the route for you. Yeah. And I was like, okay, you know, but I just couldn't handle it. Like, it was so much emotionally. I could probably go back into it in some capacity now, but I've also done a lot of healing since then. So, you know, anyway, so bravo for you. I want to hear more about that later.
Yeah.
Okay. So wait, you've adopted a kiddo?
Yes.
Oh, cool. That's so awesome.
Yeah. That also adds a whole nother layer to dating.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's something that, you know, I'm very big on adoption, and I've thought about it and prayed about it for a while. I'm like, do I? But it's such a financial thing. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm not at that place right now. But I personally want a guy who's okay with adoption, because that eventually down the line could be a thing, you know? And yeah, so that's awesome that you adopted a little one.
Just a little side note, you should consider fostering as a single person. Like, I thought for so long, like, I can't foster. I don't have a husband. And they're like, no, you can. And I specifically wanted to foster teenagers. I love teenagers. And when I called, they were like, oh my gosh, can you come today? Nobody wants teenagers. And I was like, so I actually fostered pregnant teens, like, like for quite some time. And then my son was in my program and his mom died and his dad was really sick. So I took partial custody of him and became his dad's medical caregiver. And then when his dad passed away, I took him full time. So,
Wow.
But there's a whole, it's not really talked about that much, but there's a whole group of single foster parents that is just, it's incredible. I was like, I had no idea.
Yeah. I mean, I've met some since like, you know, joining different groups and stuff. And I'm over here like, well, bravo for you. You know,
But that's something to definitely think about, like down the road, if, you know, I'm not finding somebody in the next few years and I'm getting to a point where I'm a little bit more financially stable.
You know, my boss told me when I said, I don't know if I can do this. I don't have the money. He's like, I think you need to go talk to the Lord some more. If the only thing that's holding you back is finances, go talk to Jesus. And I'm like, oh, well, okay.
Valid point. That's very valid. Yeah. I'm hard to think about that one. But that's still so cool. And I think more people, this is a soapbox, but, and I don't want to alienate anybody, but also I think more people need to think about adoption. You know, and it breaks my heart when people are like, oh, I don't want any kids that aren't mine. And I'm just like, okay. I mean, I can kind of understand, but also like, really?
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's cool. It's funny. I haven't talked a ton about the, how important is it to you, et cetera, questions. I think I more just wanted to like gauge where everybody was at on those spectrums, but I still think some of these are like important things to discuss.
Yeah.
Okay. So the, how important is it to you for your future husband to have a mentor? Like, I feel like this keeps coming up. And so if you have any perspective on that, I would love to hear it.
I think that it is extremely important. And if not an older, wiser mentor, at least a group of accountability partners. Like, one of the greatest things that I've done for myself is that a few years ago, I have a mentor, but a few years ago, some girlfriends were over, actually, I think it was during COVID, honestly, on New Year's Eve. And after the ball dropped, we stayed up until 3 a.m. and we just talked about like struggles and like things we need accountability for. And that night, a group text was formed, and every week we're like, here's what I'm praying for this week. Here's where I'm struggling. Here's where I need accountability. We do that on Sunday night or Monday. On Wednesday night or Thursday morning, we text each other, and I see them every week. So we talk about it in person too, but we text each other and we're like, hey, I've been praying for you. How are things? Like, here's what you needed accountability for. Are you doing what you need to be doing? And also when I'm struggling, because as someone, and I'm very honest about the struggles in my life, as someone who's been sexually active, not being like, and not having a husband is a struggle sometimes. Like, and I have to say to them, and of course they're like, they grew up in the church and they have been a part of purity culture and they've never had sex, never kissed a guy. They don't always understand, but they're always willing to ask me the hard question. And I think it's important, male or female, to have those people in your life. I also think it is important to have a mentor who's married or who's older than you, because they've been through things that you haven't been through, and you can have very honest conversations with them. My mentor, she is literally my book of knowledge. Like, whenever I'm like, this doesn't seem right, or I'm struggling with this, or I need da 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 da, she almost always brings me back to the Lord, but also scripture and prays with me. And I just really think that's important for my own spiritual growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's huge. Like, we never know what like what we're going to go through, obviously. But I feel like when we meet certain people, we kind of touched on this earlier too, but like when we meet certain people, you know, they're there to help us through what we have no idea is coming down the path. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And again, like, yeah, finding somebody who has been through certain things, and being able to have that sounding board, you know, 'cause I don't know about you, because sometimes when I'm dealing with something, I'm like, I feel so crazy. Like, is this normal? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's just like, do I, you know, and the hard questions. Ooh, that is a huge thing. Like, my therapist, I love that woman. She has been one of the people that God brought into my life that has definitely been able to get me past, like, you know, all those mental blocks and stuff. And it's just like so awesome because she'll just sit there and she'll be like, really? You know,
and it is therapy is the best thing I've ever done for myself.
Mm-hmm. Yep. In my opinion, it's worth the time and the money because I, again, background in social work and psychology, like for a while, I was like, oh, I know the things, you know, I was working as a therapist, you know, and I'm like, I don't need to deal with these things, whatever. And then COVID happened and it was like, no, you need to deal with a lot of this stuff that you didn't know you needed to deal with or didn't believe you needed to deal with. And, you know, so I've been with her for almost a year and a half now. And it's just like, oh my gosh, look at Tiffany a year and a half ago to Tiffany now. And I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Because if I hadn't taken that step of faith to be like, okay, I'm going to do this regardless of the financial cost, you know, because I realized at that point I had things that I was holding on to that I thought I was okay with and I wasn't. And to look at my relationships and friendships now, I'm like, whoa, like this isn't a thing anymore. Like, or is less of a thing, you know? And yeah, like my family has even like made comments. They're like, oh, wow, like we can't push your buttons the same way. And I'm like, yeah, it's because I've been dealing with things. You know,
there's not I'm all holy and healed.
Yeah, right. I'm in my healing journey. Yeah. You know, and it's like those pressures that you didn't realize were sitting right here, you know, like on your chest. And like, of course, when somebody says something, you're going to react, right? Even if it has nothing to do with whatever it was that you were holding internally. So anyway, that's a soapbox too. But I think it's just so important to have somebody or have multiple people in your life that can call you out in a loving way and ask those questions and be the support system that you need without judgment. So
yeah. I was just thinking about how men have such a hard time like opening up and sharing their feelings, but I think it's so important that you find that person. Like, it's just Mm-hmm. I'm convinced that that's part of the reason why my last relationship ended, because he wasn't willing to find good Christian men to surround himself with. Like, most of his best friends were like in the like weren't Christian anymore. And like, he just didn't have a strong support system. And I'm like, you don't have anyone to talk to about these things. So I think it's important. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. So man, if you're hearing anything at all, find a mentor.
Okay. Get a mentor and accountability buddies.
Yes. It's just accountability is so huge. And I feel like that's, again, another area where we as the Christian community are lacking. And it's like, how, it's not necessarily talked about like in the Bible. It's not like, oh, you know, James and Andrew were accountability partners. Like, it doesn't say anything about that. You know what I mean? But you can't tell me that when the disciples were going out on their missions and stuff like that, that there wasn't some level of accountability and checking each other and being that support system. Like, I think that's why Jesus picked who he picked to send out together, you know, knowing, hey, this one has this going on and this one has this going on. So you guys are going to mesh together, but you still have to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know? And so like, if the disciples had to do it, why can't we do it? Yeah. But that's a gray area, I guess, that some people just get caught up on. And I'm like, it shouldn't be. It should not be. Because we are the body after all. Like, and we all have to work together to make this whole thing work. So again, soapbox. Oh, okay. Wait, hang on. So you don't necessarily prefer a guy to show interest first. Interesting.
I feel like there's some things that I'm like, I'm okay with being the initiator. I think it speaks volumes to confidence. And also, like, I'm a go-getter. Like, I go for what I want. I'm motivated. Like, if I want something, I'm going to work hard for it. And so I know there are a lot of people who are like, oh, I want the man to pursue me. Oh, I want that. Now, I'm not saying that I'm going to go like chase you down, but I'm also not shy about letting you know that I'm interested in you. Like, so I'll send a DM or I'll like you first on a dating app, which I hate dating apps, but, you know, I'm not opposed to that. I'm also not opposed to, like, if you haven't, like, initiated, like, let's get coffee, let's meet at the park, let's do something after so many days or weeks of talking, I'm going to bring it up and be like, hey, maybe we should meet for coffee. And most of the time, I think men are okay with that. Like, I think they sometimes want a woman to show a little bit of, like, interest. So, yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I see. I kind of teeter on both sides of that. I'm like, okay, yeah, I've shown interest before, but then I've gotten burned. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so it's just kind of like, I guess finding that balance is, you know, important. Yeah.
Yeah.
So when going on a first date before having met in real life, how much do you consider cost? Do you understand if the guy doesn't want to invest too much before or until after meeting? My bad. Or does that make you think he is cheap and you will dismiss him?
Yeah, I get a lot of grief about this. A lot of grief about this. I actually don't think that your first meeting should be an elaborate first date. I think it should be, let's meet for coffee. Let's meet for froyo. Let's go for a walk by the water, because I've been on some first dates where after the first 10 minutes, I'm like, this is not going to work. But we've committed to a sit down meal at a restaurant and like now we're stuck. Mm-hmm. I would rather say, okay, we're going to meet for 30 minutes, have coffee, talk. And then if it's going well, like let's grab brunch, let's go to dinner, let's continue to hang out. Also, I always, and this is where I get a lot of flack, I always offer to pay on the first date my own, because I'm just like, we're not in a committed relationship. I don't expect you to invest a lot of money into me, like if we are just going on a first date. Now, something that I have learned from my dear friend Michelle is the 3-date rule, is always give someone 3 dates, because the first date, you're kind of nervous. The second date, I still feel like you're still trying to get to know them. By the 3rd date, I would appreciate if you offered to like pay for whatever we're doing. But again, like I feel like we're still getting to know each other. Like, I don't think you're cheap if you don't offer to pay for my dinner the first time we go on a date. Like, I don't. And I know there are some people who are like, no, like that shows they're a gentleman. Granted, it does say a lot about you if I offer to pay and you're like, no, I'm going to pay. But I'm not going to walk away if you let me pay and be like, I'm never going on a date with him again because he let me pay. Like, I offered. So yeah, there's a lot of like, people have a lot of opinions about that stuff.
Yeah, they do. Especially in A24.
Including my best friends. Oh, yeah. I also think like I'm a little bit older. Like I'm in my 40s. So I'm dating in my 40s. Like, it's just a little different, I think.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That brings up a good point too. Like in your 20s, you know, or at least in my 20s, it was more like, and maybe this was pure, like coming out of the purity culture thing too. Like it was more like, no, he's paying. Like there's just a hard line. He's paying. Right.
Yeah.
And then reaching 30s, I'm over here like, okay, but I have a paycheck, you know, but again, like, I agree with you. Sometimes I will have a conversation before going on the date, be like, are we splitting? Do you want to pay? Like, let me know where we're at with that. So then, hello, communication. So then it's not awkward, like on the date. But then the other side of that too is, you know, like I expect it, but I don't expect it. Like, if that makes sense, like, it's kind of like, it's more the nice thing. Like I would appreciate it, you know, but also I'm not over here going, okay, well, I can't go on this date because I can't pay for it myself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm also the person that is like, I don't need a big elaborate first date. Like,
oh, girl, me. I don't need a big elaborate dates ever.
Like, yeah. Yep. Me either. I'm a quality time person. Okay. I'm like, if we're together and spending time, That's all I care about.
Yeah. In my last relationship, after we were like in an established relationship, sometimes I'm like, can we just order carry out and watch Netflix? Like, I just don't want to go on a date. Like, I just want to spend time with you. Or like, let's play a board game. Let's like, I don't know. Like, I'm just not. I mean, granted, I like a good fancy date occasionally, but I am not. I'm jeans and a hoodie girl.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. I'm leggings and or jeans and yeah. t-shirts and sweatshirts. Like, yeah. But don't get it twisted. I will dress up.
That's yes. Yes.
100%. I will. Yeah. Yeah. I will definitely.
And I also think going back to the paying for thing, like when I was in an established relationship, if I wanted to plan a date, then I was like, no, I'm planning this date. I'm paying for it. Like mm-hmm. we went one, like I found this really cool restaurant with an arcade. So I brought all the quarters so we could play the games. You know, I just feel like if this is my idea and I want to plan the date, like I'm going to pay for it. Mm-hmm. If you offer to pay for it, I'm going to let you, but no.
Yeah. My sister actually did that with my brother-in-law when they were dating. He's a huge baseball person. And at the time was a pretty big Atlanta Braves fan. And they happened to be coming here to play, I think it was the Angels. I think they went to Angel Stadium. And so knowing how much of a huge baseball fan he was or is, but at that point in time, super like into the Atlanta Braves. she was like, I'm going to buy these tickets and then not tell him. And so then they were good tickets. Like she paid for everything, the whole date or whatever. And he was just like, cool, you know, like because... Yeah. It was something that he loved to do. And she loves baseball, too. But she's not the type of girl who will sit there and like discuss all the things like mm-hmm. I will. My brother-in-law and I will just sit down and be like, OK, so how about this person? And did you see that trade? And like, you know, all that kind of stuff where she's not that person. She'll just like go and watch. You know, so it was also something that was really cool for him because she was trying, mm-hmm. you know, and putting in that effort to do something that he really wanted to do. And it can be something simple, you know, like you said, board games, Netflix, etc. Yeah.
It also goes back to the partnership thing. Like we're partner, like we're in this for each other. Like, and I think it shows like a little bit of effort on my part when I'm like, hey, let me plan the date this week or let me do something that I know you really enjoy doing. So, mm-hmm.
yeah. Yeah. And yeah, it shows that you care and you're not just expecting him to just mm-hmm. do it all. Like, yeah, yeah. I think it's important to figure out those things about the other and be able to, you know, kind of walk that line yeah. together. But yeah. Again, I agree. If you're planning the date, you should. Like if I'm planning the date, I'm paying for it. So yeah. Like, hey, we're going to go do this. And
so I have a question.
Okay.
That has come up a lot recently in conversations. It really stemmed because in my last relationship, this was our first fight. Ooh. So he told me that he feels like that when you get engaged, the man should also get a gift. Like he's buying a nice big fancy ring for the girl. Like he feels like he should get a gift. And I think it stemmed from he was previously married. And so when they got engaged, she bought him like season tickets to like the hockey team or whatever. And I was like, I don't think that's how this works. I said, but I personally have been keeping a prayer journal for whoever my future husband is. And I feel like that is a great gift that I would give to them, like when we get engaged. And he was like, I mean, that's great, but I'm about to pay $2,500 for a ring. And I'm like, first of all, if you're marrying me, you better not be spending $2,500 on a ring. Second of all, I don't think that's how this works. So I'm curious your thoughts on that.
Whoa. I have never heard that before. And what? Like,
okay. I know, right? Are you like stunned right now? Because I was like, are we really having a fight over
this? Yeah, I'm pretty shocked. Like, I don't know. I'm processing in my head right now. So
I was like, I need a minute.
Yeah, I honestly have no idea
Yeah.
What I would do in that situation if a guy came at me like that, like, yeah. Not that he was coming at you, but you know what I mean? Like, yeah. If that was his opinion, because I'm like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's a cultural thing.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm just like, wow, that is crazy.
Or, you know, maybe just to give him the benefit of the doubt, maybe he was a gifts person, you know, like, I don't know if what his love language was, yeah. but still, I don't know. And that's brings up a whole thing. Like, I don't think engagement rings should cost that much. I am a simple girl. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't need a big fat ring, you know? And yeah, I feel like getting married shouldn't put you in debt. you know what I mean?
As I've gotten older, and also I was engaged before and I planned a wedding and it did not go as planned, which is great now. Yeah. The time it was heartbreaking. Now I'm like, that was the Lord protecting me. Mm. When I didn't even know I needed it. But now the other day I told my friends, I'm like, my friend did it right. Like, she did not even tell anyone that they were going to have a wedding. She was just like, everybody's coming over for a cookout. Like, it's going to be like, we're just having a backyard barbecue. And then they got married on their back patio. And it was the sweetest, like, non-expensive, like, nobody even, she's like, we don't even need gifts. Like, obviously later we sent them gift cards or whatever, but I was like, honestly, like, at this point, I'll go to the courthouse and we'll just have a party afterwards with all of our friends. Like, I don't need a big elaborate $25,000 wedding. Like,
nope.
No, ma'am.
Nope. Because as soon as you mention wedding, those prices hike and it's ridiculous. Yeah. So I've been on that, like, whole thing since I was probably, I think, 27. I'm over here like, you know, I don't need to spend all this money. I would be okay with doing something like that. Just telling everybody, hey, come over, you know, we're going to have a party, blah, blah, blah. And then be like, surprise, we're getting married, yeah. You know, or surprise, we're married and this is our reception. You know what I mean? Like, something like that. But I also have a very long list of people that I don't necessarily want at my wedding and I would feel obligated to invite.
And then I have a very long list of people who are like, no, you have to have a wedding. And I'm like, I don't want a wedding.
Like, yeah, I just, yeah, I have that too. And I'm like, okay, so here's the thing. Like, for me, the wedding, like, really should be the people that are, like, involved in your, like, relationship, not involved, but you know what I mean? Like, those are your close people, right? It doesn't have to be all the extended people and whatnot. And because you can have it be more intimate, but then still invite those people to the actual, like, celebration. And the celebration can be half the cost if you don't tell them it's for a wedding. Yeah. You know? Like, you could just rent out a room or do it in your backyard or, you know, whatever, like, or have friends that have bigger backyards and just use theirs. Like, yeah. It doesn't have to be this big, huge thing. The point of it is you've made your vows before that person and God and whoever else you're your witnesses, right? And then after that, it's not for anybody else. It's for you.
Yeah.
And that's something that I've had to deal with for a very long time because I have a very opinionated family and, you know, and friends, you know? And so it's just like, well, you know, what about this and what about that, blah, blah, blah. And I'm over here like, nope, y'all just ain't gonna even know, like, just surprise.
I have a very opinionated son who's like, well, if you don't have a wedding, how will I walk you down the aisle? And I'm like,
oh,
I get that that's special, but I don't really need that.
Like, he can walk you into the courthouse.
Yeah, seriously. Or we can do, like, you know, we'll still have a party. We can still do, like, introductions and, like, all that stuff. So,
yeah. And I think, too, like, sometimes that might be, like, a cultural thing. Like, we get caught up on the, you know, what culture says about what your wedding is supposed to look like. But if you really want to get down to the nitty gritty of it, if we did what everybody did back in the Bible, we'd be celebrating for, like, weeks.
Yeah. Like, Hindu weddings, they have, like, 50 celebrations.
No, it's insane. Insane to me. I'm all like, how do y'all afford that? Like, I don't know. But then I guess that's a cultural thing for them. Like, everybody's pitching in at that point. You know, it's not so much like it's one family paying for everything. It's the families kind of coming together, which I think is how they kind of did it back in biblical times, too. But yeah. Anyway.
Funny how your perspective changes on dating and marriage and all the things when you get older. Because once upon a time, I was that girl with a Pinterest wedding board and all the fluffy dresses and like...
Yep, I still have them.
Me too. I'm just like, oh, whatever.
Occasionally I go and look and I'm like, oh, yeah, that would still be kind of fun to do or whatever. But then I think it would still be fun to do for the party reception side of it. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't have to be the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I got us a little off
track. No. I love that though, because that's such a good question, because again, I don't know what I would have done in that scenario.
I'm
like, is that something? I don't know, because I feel like that's not even something they did in the Bible. It's like,
no. I mean, to be honest with you, like, I feel like in most cultures the man brings a dowry to her family. Like, he brings a gift and a ring.
Like, yeah, in a lot of cultures it's that way. In some cultures it's the opposite, you know, like he gets the dowry for marrying the girl she brings. But I mean, I guess in that aspect, okay, like, he got a gift. But
I'm gonna bring you a cow, not hockey tickets.
Seriously, I know. I'm all like, I have been joking with my friends. I'm all, I'm worth at least two cows. Just for, you know, just to be funny. But
That's hilarious. Next man I date, I'm going to be like, I'm worth two cows, just so you know.
Hey, thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the stories and the perspectives that were shared in this episode. Please share it with a friend whose dating life might need some help. Wink, wink. If you want to connect with me on social media, you can find me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at @anapiffwithtiff. I really hope to see you there. There are multiple ways that you can support my show. You can pray for me, rate, review, and share any episode that you love. Or you can even financially contribute by going to patreon.com/anepiphanywithtiffany. Until next time, I'm Tiffany, and I hope you just had an epiphany.